The reading this morning is from Matthew 2, verses 13 to 18, and it's on page 966 in the Pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow that. Give you a few minutes, a few seconds to look it up, and it's Matthew 2, starting at verse 13. It's entitled, The Escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.
Thank you very much, Mike. And let's pray. Dear Lord, as we consider this somewhat difficult passage, the tone has changed from the joy of Christmas Day. Please speak through me in my weakness. Amen. So as you can imagine, like Richard said, I was absolutely thrilled to get this passage to preach on. But anyway, I'll do my best, having done a bit of reading. It's a bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Especially the second part of that passage, which describes Herod's actions in response to learning that he'd been outwitted by the Magi. They'd been rather clever. They realised what he was up to, and they didn't go back to see him. They'd gone home another way. And the tone has changed, a bit like the music in the video clip changed from the happy, joyful Christmas music to a rather more threatening tone. The tone has changed. There is danger in the air. So I wonder why Matthew, and for your information, it's only in the book of Matthew that this is recorded. And also, something I've learnt preparing this sermon is the Holy Innocents, which is what this story is sometimes known as, is actually I think it's a feast day, is that right? In the Church of England, and I think also in the Catholic Church. But it tends to get a bit overlooked. In reality, I think perhaps because it's a little bit tricky, or perhaps it just gets a bit lost in the festive season. But I hope that there is something to learn for us from it this morning. Having done some reading and research, I'd like to suggest that thinking about this, although it's a little bit tricky, it does help us develop our understanding of why Christ came and who he is. So there's a few things that I think we can learn from this, and I'm just going to take a few minutes to go through some of them. I think, firstly, it's an important reminder that Jesus was born into a dangerous world. It was a time of trouble, political unrest and oppression, tension, violence, fear. Does that sound familiar? The idyllic and peaceful scenes that we see on Christmas cards or think of when singing carols don't really reflect the reality of the world then or now. I think it could be argued that there's a bit of a myth, isn't there, that Christmas should be perfect. And I fall into that as much as anyone. And our society, particularly our kind of Western consumer culture, tends to encourage us, doesn't it? We want the perfect day, the perfect celebration. Now, the Christ child was perfect, but actually, not much else about it was. We've kind of created a culture that's probably really quite different to that first Christmas. And I'd like to suggest that if Jesus is truly Emmanuel, that's one of his names, God with us, then he had to be born into and know the difficult, painful world that we live in. He has to be with us where the pain is. So the fact that life became dangerous and difficult for him very quickly, he is in it with us. Although he was perfect, he didn't come into a perfect world. Now that's the reality, isn't it? It's a hard reality, one that perhaps we might like to block out at certain times. But I also hope it brings us comfort that Jesus truly does know what it's like to live in our world and to understand it. Something else that struck me about this passage and from doing some reading is there's a threat to Jesus' life very early on from Herod. There's a price on Jesus' head, and that points towards the cross. That shadow of threat and danger and ultimately death is there from the beginning. And we often say, don't we, at Christmas, you know, we think of Jesus as a baby, but actually we should think of him as the man that he was going to become and the saviour that he was. So right from the beginning, there was danger, there was opposition to him. And people who found him a threat to their own ego or power or evil desires, as Herod did. And ultimately, that shadow of death did become a reality, but for the reason that it defeated evil, it defeated death, and it restored us to a full relationship with God. And I think if Jesus hadn't been someone special, then Herod wouldn't have been so bothered, would he? The fact that Herod was so frightened of him, so worried that he was driven to the actions that he was, shows who Jesus was. Herod was a threat to Jesus, but Jesus was a threat to Herod's evil and ego. Again, it reminds us, doesn't it, that we are in a world where we are at times faced with very bad things, with very bad people. And again, we don't really have to look very hard to see it, unfortunately. So by all accounts, Herod was a bit of a monster, and ordering brutal killings, including quite a few members of his own family, was totally characteristic. So this sounds incredibly brutal. Sadly, it was in line with the type of person that he was. But Jesus was the ultimate threat to Herod, the total opposite of evil and cruelty. And as we saw, God acted through the angel's message to Joseph to ensure that Jesus and his family were protected and that Jesus survived this early danger. The tricky bit, why innocent children lost their lives, is a hard question. And I can't really give you an adequate answer to it and the reading that I've done, other than bad things happen, evil things happen, for reasons that we don't always understand, and God does not stop them. And through history, people like those children have sometimes given their lives for God. What's helped me to kind of come to terms with it a bit is that I do believe that God looked with compassion and mercy on those children and their families, as he always does when we're suffering. The fact that Jesus survived, he was protected, they were warned, they got out in time, also shows us something of Jesus' destiny. Imagine the course of history, the course of our faith, if Jesus hadn't survived then. It would have all been very different. So God prevailed in that situation. One other bit of information, but just before I begin to wrap up, is something that comes up a lot through Matthew, is it continues to fulfill the prophecies in the Old Testament. As we know, in the read up to Christmas, we often read the prophecies from Isaiah and other books that point to who Jesus was and the coming of the Messiah. And this actually carries that on. The fact that they went to Egypt is significant. Egypt was well known as a refuge for Jews at this time. Obviously, further back in history, it had been a place of oppression for the Jews. But at this time, a lot of Jewish people did go there to flee from the Romans and to be in safety. And of course, Egypt has a very special place in the history of the Jewish people. Matthew's readers at that time would be very familiar with that. So remember Moses and his time in Egypt? Well, there are some parallels here between Moses and Jesus. Pharaoh had tried killing the firstborn in an attempt to destroy Moses and the Israelites. Remember that? It was one of the plagues. The firstborn were killed, but Moses and the Israelites got out, and Moses led them to freedom. So Pharaoh failed in what he was trying to do. Herod tried to destroy Jesus, the firstborn child of Mary and Joseph, but he also failed. So there's a parallel here of Jesus sort of completing what Moses started. Moses led the people out of Egypt from slavery to freedom. Jesus leads us out of bondage and slavery and sin into the freedom of a full relationship with God. So just to finish, just a few things that perhaps can help us. I know it's not the most cheerful of passages, but I hope that thinking about it, we can take something helpful from it. This is what I've been struck by, which I'll share with you. It's a reminder that God is in our world. He's with us in the midst of whatever is going on, even the darkest, most difficult things. It can be hard to see that, I know, I often find that too. It can be hard to see sometimes God's presence in very difficult and dangerous situations. But right from the beginning, he was in that situation. He'd chosen that. And I believe that that hope that we have can help us, perhaps when things around us seem a bit overwhelming. In God's strength, we can play our own small part in facing danger and difficulty and evil. And I'm sure we all know stories of people today and in history who've done that, who've challenged evil and danger. Going back to Anne Frank, whose picture was earlier, there are so many people who did their bit. Was it helping to save Jews, helping to stand up to an evil regime? So we can all do our own little bit in God's strength. I think we can learn from Joseph and Mary. They listened, they were obedient, and they had courage, because they probably didn't want to up sticks and head off to Egypt. They'd already had a long journey to Bethlehem. But they'd learnt that God would honour his promises and that they should listen to him. Everything that God had said to them up to this point had happened. So I think they knew when Joseph had that dream, I need to act on this, I need to take it seriously. Now, we may not always hear God in such a direct way, but are we open to it? Are we open to listening and responding to what he may be telling us, even if it's perhaps not what we would choose to do? And do we have confidence that he will honour the promises he's made to us? I think it reminds us who Jesus is. He's a fulfillment of prophecy, of Israel's history. He's the special one, the Messiah, who is with us, but he's also a threat to those who oppose God's rule and reign. So as we draw to the end of another festive season, let's remember that right from the start of the Christmas story, and this is a quote that I read, opposition could not extinguish God's light. Opposition could not extinguish God's light. And 2,000 years later, it is still going strong, despite repeated opposition through history. And I pray that that may give us hope and encouragement as we continue to follow the star and follow the Christ child. Amen.